Good morning, Crossville Church. How are you this morning? It's good to see each and every one of you in the service this morning. We're glad that you are here. Glad to have those of you who are joining us on Facebook Live this morning. We're glad that you're here. They were just playing a song called Speak, O Lord. And that really is what we want to happen today, that God would speak to us and that He would bless us, that He would help us. And we're looking forward to what the Lord is going to do in our hearts and in our lives in the service this morning. Be sure and remember choir practice this evening at 5 o'clock. And then at 6 o'clock, we're going to be kind of going in some different directions this evening. Small groups will be meeting this evening. We're going to have a group, and they will all begin at 6 o'clock this evening. The Peavine Road group will be meeting next door to Mountaineer Realty there on Peavine Road. The young adult group will be meeting in the Family Life Center. Our own campus group is going to be meeting tonight in the sanctuary. And so we want you to find one of these and become a part of it on Sunday nights. The discipleship that you're going to get in these groups is going to help and going to be a blessing to you, so I encourage you to be a part of it. Sunday nights here at the church are going to be kind of like they have been, and so if you're more comfortable with that, you come and be a part of the one that we're going to have here in the sanctuary, but we're going to have a great time at all of these groups. Be sure and remember, church board meeting tomorrow night at 6:30. We'll be in the conference room. Be sure, and if you're part of the church board, to pick up your packet from Wayne. The agenda for tomorrow will be going out by email, so be sure and look for your email tomorrow if you want to see all of the agenda for that tomorrow. Wednesday night, regular activities here at the church at 6 o'clock. We will be on Facebook Live, and so be sure and remember that. We just started the book of Romans on Wednesday night and in the adult Bible study, and so if you want to go through a great book, I have kind of gone through and outlined about 40 lessons. We're not going to do it very fast. But so we've just had the introduction, and so you come and be a part of it. We'll start chapter 1 next Wednesday, this coming Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Teen activities, children's activities, all going on Wednesday night. Ladies quilting on Tuesday at 9 o'clock in the Good News Classroom. Grief share will be Friday at 10 o'clock. And if you know someone that would be a blessing to, be sure and let them know about that. Women's ministry is having their lift. Ladies in Fellowship Together kickoff this coming Saturday at 10 o'clock. And this is a prayer station event entitled Have a Little Talk with Jesus. And that's going to be in the Family Life Center. And all the women of the church are invited for that. Young at Heart will be meeting that Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall downstairs in this main building. And they're going to be having hot dogs, hamburgers, side dishes, all the fixings. There is a sign-up sheet for that in the foyer. If you have seen everybody with the golf shirts on, at first we didn't think that was going to be a thing, but we have found out that everybody likes the golf shirts. And we're going to be placing an order for that this week. Today is the deadline. If you want one of those, be sure and sign up for that out in the foyer. There is a sign-up sheet out there. Linda also wanted to pass along, ladies, that if you are wanting to go to the district ladies event, there is one spot on the van that still remains. And so if you'd like to be a part of that and have not registered, see Linda, and she will give you the information that you need for that. Bread of Life is coming up October the 1st. There's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. Fall Festival is coming up. It's just around the corner. It's hard to believe how fast this year is going by, and but there is a container out in the foyer for you to put your candy in. Thank you for the way that you have responded to that. As Jesse said last Sunday morning, we don't want Pastor Tyler running the roads having to gather candy. Nor do we want the pastor running the roads. So anyway, thank you for the ways that you have helped with that. NYC envelopes are still in the foyer. And we want to say congratulations. Yesterday was our first children's quizzing event for the district. And Gio and Lily and Grace all went. You guys stand up. Wave your ribbons at them. Gio and Lily both received gold ribbons. Grace received red ribbon. Yesterday was Grace's first time to ever children's quiz. And they did a wonderful job, and we're so proud of them. And they had a great time, and I appreciate Nicole for working with them and encouraged the kids. Our teens went last week, and I don't have any information about what happened with you guys. And they're not going to give me any information about what happened with them. Anyway, but we're proud of our teen quizzers. We're proud of our children's quizzers. And just a lot of good things happening with that. Do want to remind you, and nobody has to remind you, that today is a very special day in the life of our country. Today is 9/11, and it only falls on Sundays ever so often. But this morning, we want to remember the sacrifice of our first responders. We want to remember the families who lost loved ones in such a tragic event. I will never forget where I was at that point in time. And I know that if you were aware of what was going on, you won't either. But we need to remember the sacrifice of those first responders, the families. But also this morning, we're going to take just a moment to pray. And I believe that we need to pray for our nation. And pray that God would touch and that God would help us. And so if you will stand, and we're going to have just a moment of silence. And then we're going to pray as we remember the significance of this day. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that you have given us this nation in which we live. We're so thankful, Lord, for all that you have done through our nation and for our nation. But days like today, Lord, remind us that the future is very uncertain. And so I pray, Father, that you would help us as we remember the sacrifice of those first responders, as we remember families who lost loved ones in such a tragic event, that you would bless them, that you would help them. And Father, I pray for our nation today and ask you that you would bring our nation to you and that you might speak as churches all over the United States today, as they take time to remember what happened 21 years ago. May it not just be a remembrance of what happened, but may it be a time in which revival begins. And we ask you and we pray for that today. May you bless in everything that is said and done in this service. We give you glory for what you are going to accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Today is also Grandparents' Day, and Linda has a presentation for Grandparents' Day.
Good morning. Happy Grandparents' Day. In 1979, President Jimmy Carter proclaimed the first Sunday after Labor Day as National Grandparents' Day. September was chosen because it signifies the autumn years of life. In part, the proclamation reads, "Grandparents are our continuing tie to the near past and to the events and beliefs and experiences that so strongly affect our lives and the world around us. Our senior generation also provides our society a link to our heritage and traditions." Proverbs 13:22 says, "A good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children. To the unsaved, inheritance is often nothing more than material possessions. But for the family of God, the most important thing to be passed on is a spiritual inheritance." Amen. "Of the gospel and the principles from the Word of God. This inheritance is passed on through preaching, teaching, and by example of living a godly life." In Psalm 16, verse 5 and 6, the writer declares that he has a godly inheritance. Psalm 78, verse 3 and 4, he urges people not to hide their spiritual heritage, but to show it to the coming generations, emphasizing on the praising of the Lord, His strength, and His wonderful works. Grandparenting is discipleship. We are disciple makers. God places expectations on grandparents to teach the Word of God and to exalt the Son of God through our testimony. This is the core of it all. Now, we at Crossville First Church would like to recognize our grandparents today by a special grand candygram. We would like to take five and make your day extra special. Getting older is nothing to snicker about. Your joints may start to crunch, and your whatchamacallit may not work like it used to. This is when you start to have butterfingers, and your mind can play tricks on you. We wouldn't trade you for an extra payday or even $100,000. You are sweeter than honey. We love you to pieces, and we hope your day is full of joy. After the service, we have a little treat bag for each of you that has all of our handygram in it. So thank you, and have a grand day.
Stand with me this morning as you're able, and let's pray together. Father God, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for this time to be able to gather in your house and worship you. This morning, Father, as we do just that, I pray that you would come and meet with us in this place in ways that only you can, and that you would move and work just like you've always moved and worked before. God, I pray today that we would be able to put aside the distractions, put aside the things that are in our way, and that we would be able to worship you. God, I pray this morning that you would bless our time that we have here this morning together, and that we would leave here closer to you than we were when we got here. God, thank you so much for everything you do. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming glory. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. To grace thou great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace now like a fetter bind my yielded heart to thee. Let me know thee in thy fullness, guide me by thy mighty hand, till transformed in thine own image, in thy presence I shall stand. Come thou fount of thy King, come thou bread.
First Peter says, "Praise be to the Lord our God, Father of Jesus Christ, who has given us a living hope." I don't know about you this morning, but I'm glad that the hope that we have in Jesus is not a hope that's temporal. I'm glad that it's not a hope that's dependent on anything else or anybody else. I'm thankful that we can have hope in Jesus regardless of the situations that we find ourselves in.
How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, our living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living. Sealed the promise, your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, "The grave has no claim on me." Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, "The grave has no claim on me." Jesus, yours is the victory. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my name.
We give you glory and praise and honor this morning, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to be in this place. We thank you, Lord, that you are our living hope. And we're grateful, Lord, that through you we have confidence, we have assurance that you are at work in our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can have our sins forgiven. Thank you, Father, that we can be filled with your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that we can be enabled witnesses to go out and tell the good news that Jesus can still transform hearts and lives. And we're grateful for that today. We're thankful for this time of worship. We're grateful, Lord, that we can indeed raise an Ebenezer. We can set aside a stone of remembrance, whether it's real or whether it's figuratively, that we know that you have been at work in our lives. And so, Lord, today we're grateful that you are our fount of blessing. And we're thankful for those blessings. I ask you, Lord, that you would bless us now as we begin to look into your word together. I ask that you, through the power of your Spirit, would move on our hearts and lives, and that you would help us this morning, that we might hear from you. But Lord, help us not just to hear what you have to say to us. Help us, oh God, that we would go from this place willing and ready to share the good news that Jesus is the living water. And for the good things that you're going to accomplish in our hearts, our lives, our church today, we give you praise, honor, and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Jesus was talking to a group of people. They weren't real sure who Jesus was. They were trying to figure it out. They were trying to come to some conclusion. And Jesus tells them in John chapter 7, and you look at verse 38, there in John chapter 7, we're going to look at this just briefly, and then we're going to chapter 4. That way you'll know where you can use two fingers there and find those. But there in John chapter 7, Jesus tells that group that's standing there, "Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." Isn't that an amazing statement? Streams of living water will flow from within him. All of you know that I like to ride a bicycle. I really do. I enjoy it about as much as I do eating, and I'd be a whole lot slimmer if I rode it a whole lot more, but we won't go there this morning. I went to Wayne County, Tennessee. If you don't know where Wayne County, Tennessee is, I got my directions all confused. I got to figure out where I'm at. You go west of here, and Wayne County is over near Lawrence County and Giles County, right in the middle of the state, basically. And the Wayne County Chamber of Commerce used to put on a ride every year. It was a 100-mile ride. They called it the Tour to Wayne. And it wasn't a difficult ride. It really wasn't. But I did it several different times. I mean, Wayne County, Tennessee was just north of Lauderdale County, Alabama. And so we would go up there and ride it. And part of it was on the Natchez Trace. And so that made it even better because we rode the Natchez Trace all the time as a cycling club. It wasn't a difficult ride. And like I say, I did it several times. However, one time that they had the Tour to Wayne, it was 105 degrees. Yeah, it was hot, and I'm not sure that I have ever been any more thirsty than I was on that day. We had about 15 or 16 of us riders from Shoal Cycling Club that went up there, and as we went through the ride with about 100, 150 other people, as we went through this ride, the SAG vehicles, and SAG stands for support and gear, the SAG vehicles were taking people back to Waynesboro. I mean, they were taking them back, and we were out there, and we were determined that we were going to finish that ride. Only 6 of the 15 that started out that day made it back on the bicycles. We all survived, but we only made it back on the bicycles. 6 of us made it back on the bicycles. One guy, it was his first 100-mile ride. And I'm just going to tell you, he was with the group that I was in, and we had one of the guys had a massive blowout on his tire. And when I say a massive blowout, on those little tires that we ride, they have 100 to 110 pounds of air pressure in them, and when they blow out big time, and it blew out about a quarter-size piece out of his tire. We didn't have another tire, and so we took some tubes, and we made something to go in that tire. Finally got that tire. We were 6 miles from the finish, And I'll never forget, as we took off riding again, I heard the guy behind me, and he was sniffling, and I turned around, and he was crying, literally crying. It was his first 100-mile ride, and he said to me, "I am not going to make it back." I said, "Yes, you will." And he did. But wow, I was so thirsty. It didn't matter how much water you drank. It just seemed like nothing would satisfy that day. And water is one of those things that everybody in this room understands. I've got two bottles of water over here just to make you thirsty this morning. You know. But Jesus is speaking, and if you look through the book of John, you're going to find on a couple of occasions that Jesus speaks about this living water. And when Jesus is speaking here in John chapter 7, please understand, Jesus is not speaking about physical water like we would have in a bottle. Jesus is speaking about spiritual water. Jesus is speaking about living water. And he reveals to us basically that this living water comes to us through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. I remember the old Gatorade commercials, and I've asked several of the younger people, and they don't remember these. But some of you will probably remember this statement. The old Gatorade commercial, it's up here. Gatorade is thirst aid for that deep down body thirst. Does anybody else other than me remember that? Two people in this room, you know. That deep down body thirst. And the whole thing, it showed this athlete, and he had been running. He had been doing all this stuff, and he was just exhausted until he took a sip of Gatorade. And Gatorade solved all the problems. That Gatorade would do what you needed to do. You see, I want to tell you this morning that every person in this room has a deep down spiritual thirst. Every person in this room has a deep down spiritual thirst. Just as our bodies have a fundamental need for water, our spirits have a fundamental need for something more than what we find in this world. We need living water. And so for us to get kind of a closer look at what this living water is all about, I want us to go to John chapter 4. And this morning, because of the length of the scripture, I didn't put it on the screen. So you're going to have to use your Bibles, or you're going to have to get your phones out. You're going to have to do something, because we're going to look at John chapter 4 and read verses 4 down through verse 26. And it's an event that you all know about. It is the event where Jesus meets with the Samaritan woman. It says there, beginning with verse 4, John chapter 4, "Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?' For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.' 'Sir,' the woman said, 'you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?' Jesus answered, 'Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water.' He told her, 'Go call your husband and come back.' 'I have no husband,' she replied. Jesus said to her, 'You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true.' 'Sir,' the woman said, 'I can see you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is Jerusalem.' 'Woman,' Jesus replied, 'believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain all things to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Wow. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, it's an interesting meeting. It really is. It's an interesting meeting between two very unlikely people. We don't know all that's going on at first. I mean, you and I, now that we've read basically the entire event, we understand what is going on. But we don't understand right at first when we start to read what all is going on in this woman's life. I will tell you that her life is miserable. It would be easy to say that this woman probably was not satisfied with anything that was going on in her life. She really needed something that would heal the wounds. She needed something that would change her life. She needed something that would allow her to live the kind of life that basically everybody else around her was living, but she could not. You see, she had a problem with relationships. It's interesting that Jesus tells her what she really didn't want to tell him. He tells her that she's had five husbands and she's living with a sixth man who was not her husband. And so that brought all kinds of guilt into the situation. In their day, divorce was a little different than in our day. They could go to the city gate. They could stand at the city gate with their wife and say to them, I divorce you several times. And when the husband or the ex-husband at that point in time walked away, they were divorced and she was left without anything. Can you imagine what it must have been like to have stood at the city gate five times? In front of the elders of the community, and the elders of the community know that five different times she has been rejected? She wouldn't come to the well at the normal time because all the other ladies came at the normal time early in the morning. But that way they would not have to deal with the heat of the day. And so not only had she been rejected by the men in her life, but she was being rejected by the ladies in the community because they wanted nothing to do with her. She obviously, based on the things that she says to Jesus, she obviously has some racial issues toward the Jews. She had some religious issues. She was part of the Samaritans. They worshiped there. The Jews worshiped in Jerusalem. She was very limited in her whole thought process about what religion was all about. She thought it should be one way. The Jews thought it should be another way. And this guy who is asking for water has gone into areas that she didn't want anybody to go in. And so rather than try to deal with the religious and the spiritual issues in her own life, she brings up all these other things. Let me tell you something. This lady needed a solution in her life. I mean, it's easy. There in verse 10 when Jesus says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Jesus is beginning to open all of this up to her, to show her that her real problem was not the fact that she was having to come at noon to get water. The real problem that she had was a deep down spiritual thirst. A deep down spiritual thirst. Now, you know the ending, or at least if you've been around church long, you know the ending. And I'm going to tell you that at the end of the message this morning, when we begin the conclusion, I'm going to give you the ending of this event. But for now, I want us to look at three things. Three things about this woman that I think that many of us try to do the same things that she tried to do. We may not have all the spiritual problems that she had, but that doesn't make us exempt from trying to do the things that she was trying to do. The first thing that I want you to see this morning is you can't solve spiritual problems with physical solutions. You can't solve spiritual problems with physical solutions. At first, when you begin to look at this, it seems that this woman was very confused. And Jesus is talking about one thing. She's talking about another. Jesus is trying to meet the deepest spiritual need that she had, and her focus at this point in time was only on physical things. Her mind only saw the physical issues. Only the physical issues. And can I tell you what is the reality of this thing? A whole lot of us are the same way. We get into situations, we get into circumstances, and what do? We begin to look at all the issues that are around us, really instead of the issues that are in us. I know I went from preaching to meddling there. You know? A whole lot of the time, we want to blame everybody else, or we want to blame every other thing around us. We begin to look at all the physical issues that are around us when we're really not wanting to focus in on the real problem, and the real problem is us. I heard someone just this week say these words: we have met the enemy, and the enemy is us. They were talking about something totally different than what I'm talking about this morning, but I heard them say it. That's the way it is. You see, the problem is many times we have so much pain, many times we have so much hurt, that the only thing that we're going to think that's going to help us is to get out of the situation in which we find ourselves. And it may be a marriage, it may be a job, it may be a school situation, it may be some other sort of situation. But we look at all the situation that is around us and we say, that is the problem. I've told you before that when I look in the mirror, I really know who my problem is. This morning, he did not look good. I'm just going to tell you. I mean, you begin to look at this whole situation. Now, you may not see the comedy in it, but there's a whole lot of comedy in this situation, because Jesus looks at this woman and he says, "Will you give me something to drink?" And she says, "Why are you talking to me?" And then he begins to tell her that he has water that she knows nothing of. And she asks him the question, "Do you have a rope? Where is your bucket? You're not going to be able to get any water out of this well unless you have something more than what you have, and you are empty-handed." Now, I realize I'm giving you the bony paraphrase of this, but just put yourself in the situation. I'm going to tell you this much also. The longer that you and I begin to look at all the physical issues that are around us, the bigger they are going to become in our lives. Until we begin to look beyond ourselves and our situation to someone who can do something about our situation, the physical issues, and I'm not talking about necessarily the physical issue, I'm talking about all those things that are around. As long as we're keeping our eyes on those kinds of things, we're going to have to come to the realization that physical issues will not solve spiritual problems. It'll cause our faith to decrease because we're going to keep our eyes constantly on that. We're not going to see beyond anything other than those things. And that's what this woman was doing. This woman was just looking at the things that were around her. She never looked and really saw, right at first at least, that the one who was talking to her was indeed, as she questions him, was indeed greater than their father Jacob, who had provided the well for them. Dr. Brown was our neighbor in Cartersville, Georgia. I was just a kid. Dr. Brown was also our doctor. And he was a general practice physician. And one day Daddy went to see him. I don't know why Daddy went to see him. He probably had a cold or something. And Dr. Brown, I've watched Dr. Brown and my dad stand at the corner of the lots. We had a chain link fence there in Cartersville. And I've watched Dr. Brown and my dad stand at the corner lot and talk for a lot of times. And Daddy, I'll never forget him coming home one day after he'd been to see Dr. Brown. And Dr. Brown had told my dad, he said, "Boyd, let me tell you that the majority of people that I see do not need a doctor. They need a pastor." What was Dr. Brown saying to my dad? Most of the things that we're trying to deal with are really spiritual issues, ultimately. in our lives. You're never going to solve spiritual problems with physical solutions. It just won't matter. You can say, I can get out of this or I can get out of this. No, ultimately, the problem is here, not here. I found out a long time ago that pastors move and they go different places because they always look and see that the grass is greener at some other church. What they don't realize is the grass is always greener sometimes over the septic tank. I found out a long time ago, it took me nearly 20 years to figure this out. I came to the conclusion a long time ago that the problems at every church are the same, that just the faces are different. Smile. That's really the truth. And the problem with moving is you have to figure out who the faces are and who the problems are. And so often we try to solve, whether it's a pastor, whether it's other things, we try to solve our spiritual problems with physical solutions, and it just doesn't work. But that's not the only problem this woman had. This woman also was anchored to tradition. And let me tell you something, folks, this morning. Tradition will not solve our spiritual problems. Jesus begins to talk to this woman, and I've already quoted the verse to you. Basically, she says that are you greater than our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well? Now, religiously speaking, please understand, the Samaritans were looked down upon. The Jewish people called them Samaritan dogs. That's the reason that when Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan, he shocked everybody there, especially when he asked the question, so who was the neighbor to the man who fell among thieves? And they knew they had to answer the Samaritan. It was not what they wanted because their tradition, the Jewish tradition, as far as they were concerned, was right. And she begins to pull in her tradition to all of this thing. You go over to John chapter 8, and you're going to find there that the Pharisees, they begin to ask Jesus, are you greater than our father Abraham? So they move from Jacob now to Abraham. And they actually ask Jesus the question there in John chapter 8, verse 53, who do you think you are? The reason that they said it like that, if you go over to another spot, you're going to find that they looked at Jesus and they said, we know who he is. We know his brothers. We know his mother. They're still among us. Who is this guy? Jesus here is offering the greatest gift that he could give anybody. He is moving them out of religion. He is moving them out of tradition. He's moving them out of their foolishness. And moving them to a point where something could happen in them. Especially there in John chapter 8. Jesus is talking to them and Jesus is showing them that they could have something beyond what they had. He was offering them eternal life. And amazingly to me is they were not real interested in eternal life. They were proud of Abraham. The Samaritans were proud of Jacob. That's the reason this woman, when Jesus is standing there, she says, are you greater than our father Jacob? That was a source of pride to them. She didn't want to hear from anybody that claimed that they could do more than Jacob did. I heard a long time ago that the death words of any organization is, we've never done it that way before. Jesus is showing them something that has never been done that way before. I mean, she was trying to get out of the situation that she was in because Jesus had put her in a spot. Had he not? I mean, how would you like to be standing there? And Jesus began to name off all the circumstances and situations of your life. It was not pleasant. I went to the office one time in my high school career. The honest truth is, one time in my entire school career did I ever get a paddling. That one time that I got a paddling, I was in kindergarten. I was leaning over the table looking at what this girl was drawing on her paper, and my kindergarten teacher came along and did this to my bottom. That was it, folks. I'm telling you, it marked me for the rest of my life. I wanted nothing to do with anything like that. I was a good kid. On all my report cards, I got A pluses in conduct. Can anybody else brag to that? I mean, yes, I was the perfect child. Just ask my grandmother. Got called to the office one time in high school. Never forget it. And Mr. Smith was sitting across the table, across his desk there. Something had gone on, and somehow my name had got attached to it, and I was not involved in it. I might have been an instigator, but I was not involved in it. I will neither confirm nor deny that, you know. Mr. Smith knew. He already had the answers. He knew what had gone on. Why did he have to call me in and begin to talk to me about it? I felt bad enough about it anyway. And Mom is sitting at home watching this morning saying, I wonder what he's talking about. She did the only thing she could do. She went back to her tradition. She went back to all that she had been taught. It was wrong. Okay, let's clarify that. It was wrong, but she went back to all that she had been taught. And Jesus begins to reveal that everything that she had been taught, everything that she had put her faith in, everything that she was putting her confidence in, all of her tradition would not solve her physical problem, her spiritual problem. Many of you have been Nazarenes longer than I have been alive. That is not a slam. We went to the Monterey Church the other day for pastor's prayer meeting, and the pastor there at the Monterey Church was talking to us about the fact that they had a delegate from that church at the original 1908 meeting of in Pilot Point, Texas. It's an amazing thing how close we are to original beginnings. And I love the Church of the Nazarene. Please understand, I am Nazarene by choice. Many of you were born into the Church of the Nazarene. I am Nazarene by choice. I came from, my dad had been a pastor in another denomination for a long, long time. And so it was a very difficult thing to make that choice. I am Nazarene by choice. But please understand, all of our Nazarene tradition, as wonderful as it is, will not save us. There has to be something more that happens in our lives. There has to be something more in our lives. We can keep the rules, we can keep the regulations, but none of that is going to take care of the ultimate spiritual problem that we have. None of it will satisfy that deep down spiritual thirst. Let me give you one more thing. Old comforts won't solve our problem. You say, William, what in the world are you talking about? Old comforts won't solve our problem. I had somebody tell me this one time, and it really made an impact on me. The longer I thought of it, the more I believed it to be true. Someone told me one time that people are happier with old problems than they are with new solutions. I thought when they told me that is the silliest thing I have ever heard of. Until I saw it happen in people's lives. That many times we're happier, and hold on, don't say I'm being ugly. Sometimes we're happier with the devil that we do know than we are with the devil that we don't know. You know? This woman was happier with her problems until Jesus came along. This woman basically had decided that she was just going to survive. She was just going to make it through. She might have to come to the well at noon. She might have to avoid all the other women in the community. She might be known as an outcast. But she was just simply going to go along with the old things because the old things were comfortable. Until Jesus came. I got a pair of jeans in my closet. And Susie will tell you that it is very difficult for me to throw anything away. She doesn't have her hanky out, but she is nodding her head. I've got a pair of old jeans in my closet that I'm telling you that I absolutely love to wear. I was very disheartened the other day when I found a hole in a place that doesn't need to be a hole. Some of you must know somebody in your house that's like that because I see too many laughing, you know. And you know what I did? Don't tell my wife. You know what I did when I found that? I folded them up and put them in the top shelf of the closet because I don't want to get rid of them. I might be able to find a patch. They are so comfortable. Oh my goodness, they're wonderful. But they won't solve problems. They'll create problems, okay? Susie's going to go through my closet now looking. Oh, how sad it is that many times we deal and continue just to endure the old problems rather than looking for the right solution. And now I'm not talking about a pair of jeans in the closet. I'm talking about in our hearts and in our lives. Sometimes we would rather grin and bear it than to have something come along that would do something. I love conclusion. I'm sorry, Wayne. I love the end of this event. You notice I've not called it a story all morning long. I don't like for us to call these things stories because that makes them sound fiction. This is not fiction. This was a real lady meeting a real Savior who did a real change in her life. The woman left her water jar beside the well and went back to the village and told everyone, "Come and meet a man who told me everything I ever did. Can this be the Messiah?" Listen at this last verse, verse 30. So the people came streaming from the village to see him. She emptied the town, folks. It's interesting to me, and it may just be our English, you know, our English at play here, but it's interesting to me that word streaming was used when we were talking about water all along. You know, the same woman who had been so filled with pain and shame that she couldn't even face her neighbors to go and draw water suddenly forgot about all of that, left her water pot at the well and rushed back into town announcing to the entire town who knew her well, "Come and see a man who has told me everything that I have ever done." You think it might be him? You think it might be the one who is coming to solve our problems? Could it be the one who's coming to release us from all of the issues of our life? Could it be the one who really has the answers? Could it be the one from whom this spring of living water flows? And flows and flows. Somebody in this room this morning, I don't know who, and I didn't preach this message specifically at anybody, okay? So nobody's come to talk to me. If you've had problems this week, let's get together after church and compare problems, okay? But if you've had problems this week, I'm glad to tell you that there is one who can solve your problems. if you have been experiencing over weeks and months, maybe years, maybe you really at one point in time had a good relationship with God, but that's kind of ebbed away. Can I tell you that the living water that flows from Jesus is still available and it will solve your problems? Maybe you have that a deep down hurt. Maybe you're tired of tradition. Maybe you're thinking, well, things are at some point in time going to have to get better. Jesus says to you this morning, come and drink. Come and drink. He says, I will satisfy that deep down spiritual thirst. He is the solution. And folks, let me tell you, He can do for you what nobody else can. He can satisfy in ways that nothing else can. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for this time that we've had to look into Your Word together. We're thankful, Lord, that You are the solution to our problems. You can do more for us than all of our tradition and rules and regulations. You can do more for us than our trying to get out of our situations. You can do more for us, Lord. You want to take us out of those things many times that have become very, very comfortable to us, even though they may be hurting us. We've become very comfortable in them. You are wanting to do something in us, through us, and for us that nobody else can. I pray, Father, that in just a moment, as we take just a brief moment to open this altar, and Susie, if you will, just come and play something quietly. I pray, Father, that in just a moment, as we take some time, that maybe if we're thirsty this morning beyond measure, not for physical water, but for spiritual water, thank You, Lord, that You are the one who can satisfy our thirst. Lord, if there are those who seem to be bound up with problems, I don't know all the issues. Nobody's come to me to talk to me about anything. But Lord, I do believe that You give messages for us to hear. Your Word is not going to return void. It will accomplish that for which You purposed it. And so, Lord, someone here this morning needed to hear from You. And I pray, Father, that You would help us this morning, that we might forget everybody else that is around us, and that we might be willing to step out and come and bow here before You. Or maybe, Father, if we were just right where we are, maybe we need to take the hand of someone that is sitting close by us and just say, pray with me right now. Wherever we are, right here, in this time, in this moment, Lord, You can satisfy us. So, Lord, I pray that You would help us. Help us to look to One who is greater than anyone that we know. The One who loved us enough to die for us. To become that living water that we so desperately need. May we look to You, and may that living water, that living water that flows, may it touch us and help us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. If the Lord spoke to your heart this morning, right here, right now, you can come and bow here. If you just can't find the courage to do that, reach over and take somebody's hand. Say, pray with me. I've got a need. You don't have to tell them what it is. They might be wanting to reach over and take your hand and tell you that they have a need. Who knows? This morning, God can do something special in you, through you, for you. All you need to do is turn to Him, and He'll do it. What number, Tyler? Amen. Just sing. Go ahead.
All my life long I had panted for a drink from some cool spring that I hope would quench the burning satisfies my longing. Through his blood I now am saved. Feeding on the husks around me, till my strength was almost gone, longed my soul for something better, only still to hunger on. Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longing. Through his blood I now am saved.
I believe it's the next verse of that song that says, well of water, ever springing. Let's stand together. We're going to sing that last verse together as a congregation. I'm so glad you were here this morning. If you need somebody to pray with you, there are people all over this room that'd be glad to pray with you this morning. And God is able to do something far greater than you can even ask or imagine. And Tyler's going to sing that last verse. May God bless you. Remember, this evening we'll be going in some different directions. They all start at 6 o'clock. I hope you have a great evening. Lord bless you. Sing that last verse, Tyler.
Well of water ever springing, bread of life so rich and free, untold wealth that never faileth, my Redeemer is to me. Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longing. Through his blood I now live.